want you to take your Bibles and look with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Amen. We are full-fledged into spring, and I like it. Amen. I hope you do as well. Revelation chapter 2. Just go to the end of your Bible and flip back a few pages to your left, and you'll be in Revelation there. And we're going to begin in chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. And how canst not bear them which are evil? And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I want you to go back into verse number 4, and I want you to notice this phrase here. When he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I want to focus in on verse number 4 this morning as we consider this subject, how to keep your first love. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. We thank you so very much for how you move and work in our lives. And Father, as we consider this passage this morning, Father, may we be open to the truth. May we take a moment right now to just open our heart, our minds, to what you would have for us. God, may we be aware of our surroundings. May we be aware of those that are around us, even trying to listen and hear. God, may we only hear from you today. For we need you. We want you in our lives. Guide our thinking today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. When we come to the book of Revelation, we know most of it deals with future prophecy and things that are at hand. As Jesus is speaking to seven churches within the book of Revelation, we know these are literal churches. These churches existed, and the message from John was going to them. And this church at Ephesus, though, is the same one that we read in the book of Ephesians, that the Apostle Paul had the opportunity to write to them. And we see some things transpiring here, but a pretty strong message that is being given by the Lord Jesus Christ as we can continue to look at Revelation chapter number 2. Again, the church of Ephesus is being written to. In verse number 2, he says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." When we first read through this, it sounds like, hey, this is a strong, solid church. But yet, Jesus says, nevertheless, that is to say, even though you have all of those, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. When and upon salvation, the Holy Spirit of God enters into our life and confirms a regeneration and confirms for us an established, that our lives have been established with God. And in that, His Spirit produces a love for and an obedience to God and to His Word. And as long as we are dependent upon God for our strength and are obedient to His Word, we experience the grace of a new Christian's first love. We know, as we sang earlier, Jesus loves us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God loves us, and in that love, He loved us first. And that's why we love Him. And we have that first love experience upon salvation. But what I want to talk about this morning as we consider this first love is really from this passage, as we see here, He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, it's easy to grieve the Holy Spirit and to leave that first love. It's easy to do that. So let's first look at how it's even possible to leave our first love. Now, I've heard for some time, probably the last 25, 30 years, to be a good Christian, you're going to do five things. I've heard it said like this: you can be a five-star Christian. You can be a five-star Christian if you read your Bible, if you pray, if you go to church, if you give, and if you witness. You can be a five-star Christian. So if we consider that thought, be a five-star Christian. Terry, you've probably heard that from Lee Robertson. He said it all the time. Be a five-star Christian. Do those five things. You'll be a good Christian. So we might consider, okay, hey, if we're going to leave our first love, it must be because maybe I'm not working for God. Maybe I'm not serving Him right. Maybe I'm not working for Him. Well, that's not necessarily the case. It's not because we aren't working for God. If we look at this church here, we notice what Jesus says in the very first thing. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Look, we can be busy for God and still have no joy for our first love. Most certainly can. We can be busy every day doing something and still have left our first love. It's possible. Say, well, it must be then because we're not reading our Bible. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's it. We haven't been reading our Bible like we should, and so we've left our first love. Well, you know, if that was the case, you know, the Pharisees probably would have been more loved than anybody else. They knew the word, didn't they? I mean, the Pharisees, man, they could quote it. They had it memorized. They knew everything in there of what it was supposed to say and how it was supposed to say it, and they were there. So it's not necessarily in not reading our Bibles, because, man, we can read our Bibles, and as a matter of fact, we can read our Bibles and be puffed up. I read 14 chapters this morning. Come on. It's not because we're not reading our Bibles. Well, it must be because we're not praying. It must be because we're not praying enough. No, you see, we can pray and still be spiritually cold. Let's go back to the Pharisees for a moment. Remember the Pharisee that came in? He said, "Dear God, I thank you that I'm not like that man." Is that not what he prayed? Yeah. Oh, we can pray all day long and not be in love with God. It is possible to pray and leave our first love. So, hold on, Pastor. So you're saying it's not because we're not working for God. It's not because we're not reading our Bible. It's not because we're not praying. Witnessing, that's the key. Now look, I'll be the first to tell you, we were left here and we are here today because the gospel of Jesus Christ must be made known. It must be made known. Even David understood that before the gospel was even told to him. He said and believed that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That all the earth may know. When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Hey, you're going to take this message, you're going to preach it to every nation. Preach the gospel." So it must be that I'm not giving the gospel. Well, that's not it either. It's possible to give a gospel tract out. It's possible to witness. It's possible to do all that and still have a dullness for souls in your life and to leave your first love. You see, all of those things are possible. Okay. So if it's not the first four, you're probably going to tell us it's because I'm not tithing. Yep, that's it. God just wants your money because he's broke. I mean, are we really that foolish to think that this morning? That God's just after us for our money? No. This has nothing to do with tithing. It has nothing to do with witnessing or praying or reading our Bibles, because you can be the biggest giver there is and still not be in love with God. There's lots of people that give. So, well, Pastor, what is it? I mean, when you look at this church in Ephesus, you see, they did all of these things. They worked. They preached. It said they canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And hast found them liars. They said they stood for the truth. It says thou hast borne them in patience for my name's sake hast labored. Saying they've witnessed, they've told. And it's not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So how do we leave our first love? If it's not one of these five things that we've always been told, if I do these things, I'll be a good Christian. What is it? Well, we leave our first love when we lose our daily awareness of our need for God in our lives. Can I say that again? We leave our first love when we lose our daily awareness of our need for God in our lives. That is when we leave our first love. We see a process in God's dealing with Israel throughout the Old Testament. From bondage in Egypt, and each step of the way, and just east of the way when he brought them to the promised land, God told them what would happen. He did. And we see each step of the way when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the needs that Israel had. And these were needs that were beyond their capacity and beyond their ability to fulfill. It started when they first even got out of Egypt. They couldn't leave on their own. God called a man named Moses, and Moses came and said, God told him, he said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses started off by saying, I can't do that. I don't have enough ability to do that. I can't speak, I can't talk, I can't do these things. Well, God convinced Moses to do it. He goes to Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, just want to let you know, God said, let my people go. Well, who said it? Who sent you? You said God sent you? Now, Moses thought, he said, well, if Pharaoh asks, who am I supposed to say? He said, tell him that I am sent you. That didn't work. Pharaoh said no. They got to stay. So Moses goes back again. Says, look, you do this. You let my people go. It's what God said, or this is going to happen. Pharaoh said no. Then we see that 10 times, 10 plagues coming through Egypt. All the way down to the death of the firstborn. They didn't have the blood. Finally, Pharaoh had enough. He said, get out of here. And no sooner than they got out of town, that Pharaoh changed his mind. Said, boys, go get them. Bring them back. So the army is chasing after Israel. You know the story. They get up to the Red Sea. There's really nowhere to go because they can't turn back and go that way because the army's coming after them. The people begin to wonder, what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, here you go. God, is Moses talking here? What are we supposed to do? He said, Moses, hold your rod up. Can you imagine the scene there? I mean, that water goes from this side. Two walls through the Red Sea. And the Bible says the children of Israel passed through on dry ground. I mean, just an amazing picture of what God's doing in their lives. Well, they made it. When they made it across, Pharaoh's army started coming through with them. Once Moses was across, God said, you can put your arm down now. Moses took that rod, those walls of water came down, consumed the Egyptian army. Just like that. See, it was something that they couldn't do. And they began to rely on God. For 40 years, they were in the wilderness. They never planted one crop. And they didn't have Walmart either. Didn't have Winn-Dixie, didn't have Piggly Wiggly, didn't have Kroger, didn't have any grocery store they could go to. Didn't plant one crop, and yet no one went hungry. Now, how'd that happen? Oh, I mean, they complained about it. Don't get me wrong. They sure did complain about it, and they paid for the complaining, too. But God never let them go hungry because he gave them food every day. And so what I give you, eat. So there's no saving it. There's no stocking it up. I'll feed you every day, and that's exactly what he did. They went through a time where they didn't have water. 3 days they're going through this wilderness with no water. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need water. And you need water to survive. They finally came up to some water that wasn't drinkable. Oh, you talk about disappointment. Oh, they were disappointed. They said, here we are, we've traveled 3 days, no water, we get to water, we can't even drink it. You've got to be kidding me. Moses again, God,
These people aren't happy. They're thirsty. We got water here, but we can't drink it. Hey, look, can I just fill you in on something? Does anybody remember what God told him to do? He said, hey, Moses, he said, see that tree over there? He said, go get a piece of that tree and put it in the water. Okay. Goes, gets a branch, puts it in the water. I don't know exactly what happened, other than God gave them water. The same water that was once bad, the same water that was once bitter, they said, God made it sweet. Now hold on a second. That water was done by that tree. You say, I got a problem in my life. And we do have problems in life. We do have difficulties in life. We do have things that we face that we don't have answers for. But isn't it amazing that that whole time that they were griping, that they were complaining about the water, the solution was already there? God didn't just place that tree there yesterday. No, that had been growing there for a long time. And God said, take that tree, put it in the water. You see, oftentimes when we come to difficult situations, God already has a solution. We just have to ask Him. So here they are, from the protection that they were given, from the food that they were given every day, from the water they were given every day. They never went without for 40 years. Hey, check this out. They didn't have to change their shoes or buy new shoes or make new shoes for 40 years. They never wore out. Never. Not one time did they wear out. Every time they needed direction, God gave it to them. Yeah. And at the edge of the promised land, God predicted that they would lose their love for Him. And He told them exactly what would happen. And the very same thing takes place in our lives today. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is how we lose our sense of need. So how does that happen? I mean, through that whole time, the children of Israel, man, they relied on God. And there was an element of those that did not, but you can see the ones that had the blessings, they got provided for. And man, did they love God. So how did they lose their sense of need? Well, in verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, you lose the sense of need when we begin to enjoy the daily provision. He says in verse 11, beware lest thou forget not the Lord, thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, that He might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. we fail to lose our sense of need, or we lose our sense of need when we enjoy the daily provisions. They had everything provided for them in the wilderness. But when we become aware of the physical needs and become aware of the mental, emotional, and spiritual needs of our lives, we usually become more dependent upon God. I mean, you think about this. When some tragedy comes in your life, that is usually the time when Christians say, "Oh, I need to pray." Shouldn't we have been praying all along? I mean, why does it take a tragedy for God to get my attention? Well, I can tell you why. Because we've left our love. We've left our first love. And we get to that place of tragedy because we've built up our own wealth. We've built up our own need. And really what we're saying is, I don't need God. And we have forgotten that God is there. Maybe not mentally, but physically, and how out of our behavior, we act as if God is not even there and present in our lives. And when we do that, that is the time that we have left our first love. God said it. He said, "You relied on me through the wilderness." But I'm telling you, and this was before they ever left. He said, "You're going to get over there." He said, "You're going to build a house, you're going to have herds, you're going to multiply, you're going to have silver, you're going to have gold." Verse 14, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." He says, because you have everything. Verse 17, "My goodness," he says, "and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Wow. Can I tell you, America, the land in which we live, it is probably the wealthiest country the world has seen in a long, long time. I mean, our poverty level doesn't even begin to compare to what real poverty is. That's how wealthy we are. And if you consider, probably from the early 1900s, as we began to develop and really develop what our culture is today, you can see from the time of World War II, really a change in what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We've built our wealth. We've built our houses. We've built our lands. We've built all of this stuff. And we all did it without God. We didn't need Him. Here's what a depression is to us today. "I went to the bank and they wouldn't give me a new loan. He said I couldn't buy a new car. My car's 8 years old. And the bank said no. The economy's in the toilet. What am I going to do? Don't they know my car has 90,000 miles on it?" Come on. Have we gotten to a place where we no longer rely on God for our daily needs? We whine and cry about how bad it is. But yet when we become aware, oh, yeah, we think about it. See, we're secure for the future. I mean, we save, we put in retirement. I'm not saying we shouldn't do these things, but what I'm saying is this: we need to rely on God. If we expect money to do what only God can do for us, then money has become an idol to us. Oh, yeah. Fear of loss is God's signal that we have transferred our dependence from Him to something or someone else. So I can't lose that. Oh, if I were to... Oh, no. I mean, seriously, what... I mean, obviously, I wasn't around in the 1930s, but what would we do? What would we do if we had a true depression? I mean, what would we do if we had to grow our own food again? We might be healthier. What would we do? I mean, seriously, what would you do if you had to grow your own chickens and pluck them so you could eat dinner? Some of you don't like to cook as it is. We're talking having to do that stuff. Man, what would we do? We might have to rely on God. That'd be awful. Can you sense the sarcasm here? God says, I know your works. Our works aren't the problem. He says, I see your stand. If you look back in Revelation 2, he says, you stand against what's wrong. There's just one problem. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Let me give you some evidences. Show that you might have left your first love. I'm going to give them to you really quick here. When my delight in the Lord is no longer greater than my delight in someone else or something else, I have left my first love. Number two. When my desire for rich fellowship in God's word and prayer has diminished, I have left my first love. Number three. When my idle thoughts do not reflect upon the Lord, I have left my first love. Number four. When I claim to be only human, and I easily give in to those things which I know displease the Lord, I have left my first love. When I don't willingly and cheerfully give to God's work or to the needs of others, I've left my first love. When I cease to treat Christians and others around me as I would treat the Lord, I have left my first love. When I view the commands of Scripture as restrictions to my happiness rather than expressions of His love, I have left my first love. When I seek the reward and acclaim from others rather than the approval of God, I've left my first love. When I refuse to give up an activity which may be offending my brother, I've left my first love. When I am unwilling to forgive another for offending me, I have left my friend. All of these give evidence that we are no longer relying on God. We don't want God in our daily life. Weekly life, well, maybe. Monthly life would be better. But you see, it's possible to go to church, serve Him, work for Him. It's possible to read your Bible. It's possible to pray. It's possible to give. It's possible to witness and still leave your first love. You know, the one that died for you, the one that gave His Son for you, the one that said, I love them first. And we can have a part in that love? Yeah, He's the one. He says, I have somewhat against thee. Somewhat. See, we do all of these things, but do we consider God? You know, in our daily life, do we rely upon God, or do we have it all under control? That's telltale right there. If you have everything under control, you might want to check this out. Yes, we've been blessed. Yes, we have all of these things. And I tell you, it is possible. It is possible to have great wealth, to have everything in the world and rely upon God. Job did. Remember what the whole reason that Satan even said to God, I can't go after Job. You've blessed him too much. As God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Because it was Job that said, my hope is in the Lord. He said, naked I came in and I'm not taking anything with me. Job understood that, and he had everything. And when everything was taken away from him, he still trusted. Still, it is possible to have everything in the world and trust God every day. The question this morning is, have you left your first love? You can get it back. One of the most wonderful things I see in Scripture, especially through the Old Testament with Israel, is the number of times that Israel left God's love, left their first love, that God said, my hand is stretched out still. My hand is stretched out still. I tell you today, God's hand is stretched out still. He wants you back. You're the love of His life. It's a wonderful thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.